Good morning. And this morning we are reading from Luke and following on our series in the Gospel of Luke. And it's a very familiar passage from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 20. And this makes us feel like it's Christmas already when we read the scripture account of the birth of the Lord Jesus, as it's so often read out at Christmas time. Only in Luke do we find the narrative about the account of Jesus' birth. So let's look here at Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1 down to verse 20. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And we finish our reading there at verse 20. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help as we look into his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to read from your holy scriptures. Thank you for this story about the birth of the Lord Jesus, this amazing turning point in history. Lord, may the meditations and the thoughts of our hearts this morning bring you glory, and may you speak to us, each one, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said, it feels like Christmas when we read this account. And that only in Luke do we find the narrative about the account of Jesus' birth. These verses must be some of the most well-known and familiar in the Gospel of Luke. Matthew's Gospel concentrates on Joseph, his ancestry, Joseph being visited by an angel, and the account of the wise men visit, and how the family escaped to Egypt until the death of King Herod, and then the family went back and settled in Nazareth. Mark's Gospel and John's Gospel have no narrative about Jesus' birth or early days. But here in Luke's Gospel, we have the telling of Jesus' birth, that amazing event which turned the tide of history, that moment when God broke into the world in a most unique and astonishing way. "From heaven you came, helpless babe," as the songwriter Graham Kendrick puts it in The Servant King. Here in these first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2, we have three proclamations. Firstly, we have a decree from Rome in verses 1 to 7. Dr. Luke likes detail and facts as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit in writing his gospel. He begins by timing things in conjunction with other events. Here, Luke tells us the historical fact that the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus had issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world in verse 1. The mighty Emperor of Rome was ruling, but the Almighty God was in charge, and he used this Roman census to fit in his plans and purposes. What's more, Luke adds that this particular census took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria in verse 2. These Roman census were taken every 14 years, with the results mainly being used for taxation purposes. This special decree, along with all other administrative arrangements, were going to fit into God's perfect plan. Every male went to his own town to register, we're told in verse 3. This meant that Joseph and Mary, who went with him, and was pledged to be married to him and was expecting her first child, had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, the town of David, as Joseph belonged to the house and line of David, in verse 4. This was about a 145-kilometre or 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Interesting to note that the Bible doesn't mention anything about Mary travelling on a donkey. It would have taken them several days to complete this journey, and Mary's baby was due very soon. And as we know, it was while they were in Bethlehem that this special child was born, in verses 6 and 7. But there was nothing normal about this particular situation. Several centuries earlier, God had decreed that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, in Micah 5 verse 2, and the pieces of God's perfect plan were falling into place. This was a human decree issued by the Roman Emperor, leader of the greatest kingdom on earth at the time. But it was in Almighty God's timing that determined when this child in the manger, the King of Kings, who reigns over all things, would be born at a specific time, in a specific place, for a specific mission, to save his people from their sins. This made this special baby, this very special baby would be human, not an angel. Hebrews 2:17 tells us he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. He would be a Jew, not a Gentile, Psalm 89:3-4 tell us. The Messiah would be a descendant of David, and he would be from the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49:10 tells us. And he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14 tells us. And he would be born in Bethlehem, as we've already discovered in Micah 5 verse 2. All very specific. The actual birth of the Son of God is recorded in only a handful of words. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. Verse 7. Three times the word manger is mentioned. In verse 7, verse 12 and verse 16. This word can be translated manger or stall. With Bethlehem full of visitors from all over, taking part in the Roman census, even an expectant mother had to take whatever accommodation she could find. In verse 7, a song written by Hilda Day puts it like this: no room for the Saviour at Bethlehem's inn, only a cattle shed. No room on this earth for the dear Son of God, nowhere to lay his head. Only a cross did they give to my Lord, only a borrowed tomb. Today, he is seeking a place in your heart. Will you still say to him, no room? O Lord, in my heart there's a welcome for you. Gladly I now would say, come in, precious Saviour. My heart and my life, both shall be yours today. Long you have waited and long knocked in vain, outside my heart's closed door. So cleanse me from sin, then, my dear Lord, enter in and live there forevermore. I pray that this has been your prayer, or if not, that this will be your prayer today. Welcome the Lord Jesus as your own Saviour and Lord. Repent of your sins and receive his forgiveness and the free gift of salvation. The price is paid, and that's the purpose of Jesus coming as a little baby, as a servant king. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9 tells us, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. As the carol Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written by Charles Wesley, puts it, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. That's that new birth, that you must be born again, that we read about in John 3. A mighty decree from the mighty conqueror and a Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus, but ultimately it was the perfect timing and plan of Almighty God. The greatest person ever to walk this earth had entered the world as a little baby, the Son of the Most High, the one and only eternal Son of God, and his mission to save his people from their sins. A decree. We move on now to a message from heaven, number 2, verses 8 to 14. While all this was happening, there were other people minding their own business out in the nearby fields, shepherds minding their flocks of sheep during the night, in verse 8. First, one angel appeared to this group of shepherds, and they were dazzled and terrified by the appearance and the glory of the Lord that shone out around them on that dark night, in verse 9. The angel tells the shepherds, "Do not be afraid," in verse 10. "Fear not," seems to be one of the recurring responses of the angels who appeared to Zechariah and then to Mary and now to the shepherds. This angel, as the angel Gabriel had on both other occasions, brought good news, news that will cause great joy for all the people, verse 10 tells us. And he goes on to tell the shepherds this great news that has come from heaven. He wasn't announcing the coming of a soldier or a judge or a reformer, but that he had sent a saviour to meet man's greatest need. Roman law, Greek philosophy, or Jewish religion could not meet the needs of men's hearts. Then God sent his Son. Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Verses 11 and 12. Notice the three names given to the newborn child in verse 11. Saviour, Messiah and the Lord. Jesus was going to be the Saviour. Joseph was told by the angel in Matthew 1:21, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." He is the mighty Saviour who would transform the lives of multitudes. Jesus was the promised Messiah. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. The Jews were awaiting the appearance of the promised Messiah. In John 4:25, remember the Samaritan woman that Jesus met at the well said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming." And Jesus replies in the very next verse, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God's promised eternal King. And then we have Jesus, this newborn baby called Lord. This title Lord was used by the Jews exclusively as God's own name. This brings no doubt to whom Jesus is. He is God. God himself had broken into history in a way that would cause a great joy for all the people. Verse 10. Then this one angel with his earth-changing message was joined by a great company of heavenly host, that is countless angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." Verse 13 and 14. The day will come when his praises will be sung by the multitudes of the redeemed of God out of every tribe, language, people and nation, we were told in Revelation 5 verse 9. No wonder a great multitude of the heavenly host suddenly appeared to the shepherds, praising God and promising there would be peace on earth to those on whom his favour rests. Verse 14. And then thirdly, we have the news from Bethlehem, verses 15 to 20. The angels didn't tell the shepherds to go and visit the baby Jesus, but obviously they assumed they would. Verse 12. And that is exactly what they did in verses 15 and 16. How could they keep this amazing news to themselves? Filled with curiosity, they had to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that had happened, which the Lord had told them about in verse 15. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just as the angel had said back in verse 12. I guess there weren't too many newborn babies around Bethlehem lying in a manger that night. You'd wonder why the angels didn't announce would be given to the priests or the scribes rather than to these poor lowly shepherds. God so often chooses the meek and the lowly to accomplish his purposes. It was fitting that the first news about the coming into the world of Jesus, the Lamb of God, would be given to these humble shepherds. John the Baptist introduced the Lord Jesus in John 1:29 as Jesus commenced his public ministry. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Shepherds were amongst the lowest paid of the working class of that day, yet they were chosen by God to be among the very first people to see this very special child, the Son of God. And even more, they were the first evangelists spreading the good news about the birth of Jesus in verse 17. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them in verse 18. They went back to their work, but they were glorifying and praising God like they were new men. Notice the varying responses of people that night. The shepherds were initially terrified in verse 9. Immediate response of the shepherds once the angels left them. They set off to find what had been told. They'd been told about it. Verse 15. They spread the word about what they'd been told after they'd visited the child in verse 17. And the amazement of all who heard what the shepherds told them about the child in verse 18. But Mary, she treasured and pondered about all these happenings in verse 19. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, heard and seen, which were just as they had been told in verse 20. These shepherds were no longer terrified, they were thrilled. I wonder today, as you hear again the familiar story about the birth of the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord, are you amazed and thrilled at what you realise about this very special child, the Lord Jesus, who was born so long ago but changed the world, and he can change your life also. The servant king, this helpless babe who gave his life that we might live. Is he your servant king today? Even when the shepherds returned to the fields and to their flocks, they could not help glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Verse 20. They were not preachers or gifted scholars, but they could share what they had heard and seen. Experience always trumps an argument. It's a bit like Peter and John in Acts 4, when they were in trouble up before the Jewish rulers and elders and teachers of the law, observed by them as unschooled ordinary men. And these Jewish leaders commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John replied in verse 20, "We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." John writes in 1 John 1 verse 3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may be in fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." We also have been tasked with the spreading of the good news about the Lord Jesus. We have that same privilege and responsibility today and tomorrow and until Jesus comes again, pointing others to Christ. Telling others about the Saviour is a solemn obligation as well as a great privilege. And we who are believers and are his followers must be faithful. Our closing song this morning is "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe." And the chorus says, "This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king." Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing account again that we read of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the shepherds. Thank you for Mary and Joseph. Thank you for all the people who were so amazed about what they heard. Help us, Lord, to be like the shepherds and spread the good news about the Lord Jesus, that he has come to be the Saviour of the world. You'll call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. And we pray for any who haven't given their life to you, Lord, that they would today give their life to Jesus and trust in him as their Saviour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.